Welcome to another episode of the After the Whistle podcast. My name is Smiley and I'm joined by Vangelda and Kawawa himself returning for yet another episode. And our returning guest, Fred the Liverpool fan. Make us start with Fred, because for the people listening on audio, my man they can inside the camera record plus me. Fred, what's up?
Oh, Charlie, I just visit you people. It's like they were gone. I don't watch the game, so me, I just want to catch up. Plus, this thing, you want to give me an update on the games. How are you guys doing?
Me and Kawa, me, if you talk for us, we know be cool, but Van Gelder, I don't know about them.
I move so tired. Have you all
so, so finally, Kawa. Let's check with our Blake.
What did I mean by finally? You talk like then I did every four business days at the time moves. Yeah, after 9 years, I had to say goodbye to the check. Yeah. And hello to Nottingham. Hi, Nottingham.
Hey, Charlie, so right now they give you more information Charlie, from the Charlie younger and since them account. Because
Espirito Santo.
Charlie, come on, also.
Charlie, nothing better they happen.
I know it's not a good day for us in the Man United camp. So let's just start with the reason why. So Man United just got smashed 3-0 by Liverpool. Right now, United getting smashed by Liverpool seems like it's an annual affair. And Charlie, you can't even be upset these days because it's like it's happened so many times that we are beginning to get used to it. So maybe I ask the person who decided to join us from his car. Because Charlie, the agenda suit him so much that initially when I invited him to join us for this episode, he came back and he said, oh, nah, he'll be driving and he'll be doing a long distance journey during the time that we'll be recording, so you'll not be able to join us. As you know, your man said, nah, he go fit join with us.
I forgot pass through. Why I go take that shit before? But Charlie,
so, yeah, how do you feel about this yet another huge win against United?
To be very honest with you, and I'm not even trying to glaze here, it feels like another win. Before this match, the only reason why I'm still trying to figure out what this slot guy is trying to do. But my United, me, like, as I was, like, the more I watch you guys, the more I see that you guys don't really have a game plan. And I actually went for the preseason game. And I came out of it laughing at Casemiro the whole day. Like Casemiro, every time he got the ball, everyone started making fun of him. And true to his word, Casemiro today came and did the job for us. So my United, I don't know. It's, you can see money is being spent, but you're not seeing much of build-up play. Yeah, I know you guys were saying you feel like you're more compact, but it's just so easy to play through you guys. And the one major thing that people don't forget about, I'm sure you guys have mentioned it, is your goalkeeper. Like, the guy, every shot on target is a goal. So, he's just one person that I know for sure that as soon as, if we are able to get a shot off, most likely he's going to score. So, from your defense, I mean, today the Leeds did well, but most of it was just like hard tackles. Lisandro Martinez is always fighting with people. Dalo, I think, is a good player. Dalo, I actually think, is a very good player. He's probably one of the players in my United I actually rate. But your midfield has no legs. Your attackers, you don't know whether they are strikers. You don't know whether they are wingers. You don't know whether they are left wingers. There's so much. There's no certainty in the team. And obviously, your coach is also there. So, to be very honest with you, I didn't expect a 3-0 win, but I did expect a win today. And surely it came out too.
So, at least, okay, from your perspective, the United team, Van Gelder, also, you raise your hand.
I just want to clarify something again, because Charlie, every time you can, you move the people anyhow. I just want to clarify. What does it mean by your coach is also there? What does that actually mean?
Just to give you context, last season, I celebrated my United's FA Cup win. Because I knew that it would give you that illusion of having a good season. So most people, and it happened, there were so many Man U fans that hated Ten Hag getting to the end of the season. But after they won it, they started rationalizing it. Oh, this guy was injured. Yeah. And And so the FA Cup win is probably one of the best things that has happened to ASU in the last year, because it's going to extend the period of how long this guy is going to be at Man United. The guy is not good. Look, one thing I always say, like, even as a manager, you know, obviously sometimes we talk about aura, we talk about people being able to like motivate their teams. Do you see the video when the Argentina guys came and they were he was trying to celebrate them in their dressing room? It just seems so awkward. Like, as I see the players not listening, I don't know. The guy just gives me like a B-rate team. And on top of it, he's arrogant. I think that's the more annoying part. Like, you know, they win. You go win some Carabao. You say you've had better seasons than Liverpool since you came. And so long as you people believe that, we would love him to stay at Man United forever and ever. I, to be honest, I hope he stays. Whatever his contract is, 4 years, 5 years, he should stay. The Ineos people. And it's so nice when you guys will lose like this, and then you go through like a three game run, and then it looks like you're getting better again, and then you draw, and then you start losing. So it's always the hope that kills, and I hope Ten Hag stays. But the guy, if you finish Man, you shall deny the goal.
So at least, Mega, ask for Liverpool's perspective. We've not spoken to you since Slot came in. How do you feel about what he's done so far? Do you think this result is like the biggest sign that you've really replaced Klopp, or there's still more to come?
To be very honest, I don't know. Like, and it's even as a Liverpool fan, you know, Klopp had that whole emotional thing. Klopp was someone that everybody kind of saw him as their dad. Like, if you're a Liverpool fan and you're young, and so him leaving, it's almost like there's like some part of Liverpool that is gone. And this guy is just there. And I have described him as, to be honest, I don't know what he can do, because I don't know the guy. I haven't followed Feyenoord in the past. And he's also not as charismatic as Klopp. And to be honest, being charismatic as Klopp is a very hard thing to do. There's hardly any manager in the world that's as charismatic as Klopp. But I feel like maybe he could be some mad genius, like one of those people that they are a little bit socially awkward, but like in tactics, be some crazy tactics, then we can't spoil there. So far, I've been impressed. I'm not going to lie, because last season, one of my major complaints about Klopp was we're playing too much basketball, football, where we attack and then they attack us, and Alisson will always make like 3 1-on-1 saves. And it's just refreshing watching like the team play where we are not really conceding a lot of chances. I mean, like today you guys had chances, but just in general, the game felt like we're always in control. And it's the same thing that happened in our first two games as well. So I like that aspect, but sometimes I can also feel like it gets very slow. And and we saw it last week, actually. It didn't really help in Anfield, because the Anfield crowd, they like full fire. Everyone is running. Everyone is pushing. And then last week, it was more like they get the ball, they go reset again, they reset, like a Man City style. So it's taking getting used to, but if he wins the league or he wins the Champions League, Charlie, me, I know ball. But obviously, that attachment to the manager himself is not there like it used to be for Klopp. It's not there.
Sorry, to Kaawa, yet another season under Ten Hag where United are starting very slowly. And like, Kaawa has already been one of the people who has been very vocal against Ten Hag. You saw what Plenty put in see before, where people were celebrating small wins and things, and Kaawa always remained consistent. Now we have another season where, under him, is now his third season. Two of those seasons, he's lost two of his first three games. The other season, he lost three of his first five games. So he never even starts the season well. How do you feel about this yet another terrible start to the season?
I honestly thought that this season was going to be better. I had the game against Liverpool down as a loss, but I thought that United was going to do better with Fulham and Brighton. And I've always wondered. The main thing for me is that I think that the biggest part of Ten Hag that I don't understand is when something happens, say you concede a goal in a certain way, does he actually go back and watch the clips again? Do they have video analysts? Like, what do they do? Because it's very shocking for me. Last week, we conceded the same goal from Brighton. The goal João Pedro scored was the same goal Luis Diaz scored today. It was the same thing. The defenders were crowded on one side, and then they floated the ball, and then the attacker was free, not sit home. And it was just this. So I'm just asking, like, do they have video analysts? Like, do they look at things? Do they actually watch? And you see, this thing happened also last season. United City at Old Trafford, it happened. That Haaland goal was the same thing that happened. The defenders were crowded on one side. They crossed the ball. Haaland knocked it home. It was the same thing. And you see, the funny thing about that game was that they were doing it consistently in the first half and it wasn't working. And then the guy didn't solve anything. Second half, he comes in and then they use that same move to score a goal. So sometimes I just wonder, like, what does Ten Hag really want to do? You see, the thing is that me, I've always been anti-Ten Hag. I don't care or anything. I've always been anti-Ten Hag. But I'm just wondering, like, can you like prove me wrong just a little? You know, like it's like I'm always right. And I don't, it's like, can you just prove me wrong just a little? And Fred talked about Onana. And I just want to touch on the Onana bit really, like, very short. Today, Alisson made three very good saves. Three. The one from Mazraoui that went through Van Dijk's legs, that ball would have beaten Onana. That's one. Now, the one Zexy hits to the far corner that Alisson parried out, that ball would beat Onana. The only ball Onana saves is the Zexy one, the header where, you know, from close range, so he was there and then he cleared it. Those out of those three saves, two of those saves that Alisson made would beat Onana. And that's why we need to ask ourselves questions. I know that these days, when you ask these things, people try to make it look like you are antagonizing the club and all of that. But come on, are we really sitting down to say that what Onana does in the post is what a Man United goalkeeper should do? That's the first question. Now, also, Ten Hag says, oh, today Casemiro didn't do too well, blah, blah, blah. Fine, granted, Casemiro didn't do too well. But then the question United fans need to ask themselves is that if there was no Casemiro in that midfield and those two mistakes hadn't happened, would United have scored? Or would United have controlled the game if Casemiro wasn't there today and those two mistakes hadn't happened? It would never have happened. And that's the reason why that Casemiro mistake should not be dwelt on so much. Because, fine, granted, he's made that mistake, but were we creating enough chances? Were we still in control of the game? No. Every other time, Liverpool just had their way and were good. Look, today, I was surprised at Gravenberch. What Gravenberch did on the pitch today, it's one of the best. To me, it's one of the best midfield Patrick performances I've seen at Old Trafford in a very long time.
No joke.
Yeah. It's one of the best I've seen at Old Trafford in a very long time. And when, look, you see, these are some of the things. When Slot was explaining how he got the win, it was really sad to watch because it was a very simple tactic. Just make sure that you are not getting Casemiro time on the ball to make those long passes and whatever. And then it was very simple. Today, McAllister didn't even have to do much. He was just the one trying to mop up. Then Gravenberch gets the ball, tries to drive the ball up. And it was so simple. Like, how coach where you get coaching badges? You know, they see these things. Me and they Accra. See where are they then, Manchester. At the 50th stage, Charlie, what they go on, it'll be bad. How? But Charlie, the thing there, me, all the people where they say that they want trophies over what's building systematically to reaching the trophies. Fine, we are winning the trophies, and that's good. So he should stay. Make we win the trophies, then they where we did. Nah. If we go win FA Cup way, the league will go finish 12th. Make we take them so. Because that's what we bargained for. To be honest, because I don't see how we get better from this. And you see, these things, it happens. The first season, it happened. Second season, it happened. Next, what's the name? This season, it will happen again. Next match is against Southampton. They go get some low 2-1 beat. Then, oh, yeah. Then the next game will come. Then, oh, they go get some 2-1 beat. You see, we never, look, since Ten Hag became manager, how many times have we scored more than 3 goals in a match? And then now we have this lazy striker plus another lazy striker who's also coming, Hoyland and Zexy. These two people, we are looking to do things with these two people.
Bad strikers,
it will not work. Bro, it no go work. The team, it no go work. The Ten Hag, no, it no go work. If they no sack Ten Hag this season, the fans where they like trophy say that they go win another trophy. They say they don't like Carling Cup, then FA Cup, so then they go win Europa League. So make we wait and see how the Europa League will go. Right now, the Europa League format too will be long like that. So you go see something. Charlie, so we have a point that. That be all.
So, come on, make I ask you again. So, in the aftermath of the game, Ten Hag was talking about how we should look at the expected goals, and United created almost as many. In fact, the expected goals between Liverpool and United, it was almost equal. So, do you think it means anything? And that the team was just misfiring because Zexy also got like 3 decent chances that he could have put away. Do you think it means anything?
Smiley, I don't think it means anything. I don't think it means anything in the sense that I think that there have been games where expected goals have been way less for certain teams and they've managed to score more than what the expected goals said. I don't think that is a metric on which to judge your team. So the expected goals thing, I just feel like it is not the best metric when you want to check on how your team is doing. I think that in some ways it'll help. But in the state United is in now, I don't think that they should be looking at expected goals and be thinking that we've made progress. The thing is, ideally, this is a statistic issue. If you've built up a good team, if you've been able to bring in some really good players, of course your expected goals will go up. Because, the statistic will say, maybe because of how many goals Zexy scored last season or because of how many goals Hoyland scored or what Bruno is doing, whatever, your expected goals may go up marginally. But it doesn't necessarily mean that it will translate onto the pitch. And that is one of the reasons why I think that it is not the best metric to check what is really happening. I think that Ten Hag just needs to try to cut some of the things out and decide to focus on... Because look, if you have reinforced your defense after what happened last season, you have reinforced your defense thinking that you are going to concede lesser goals than we did last season. And after 3 games, you've conceded 5 goals. I don't think that problem in its entirety has been solved. And he needs to know that because it has not worked. When you look at everything, it's not like United have also played some really good football. The only time we played very good football was against Brighton. We were unlucky to have lost. But I think today, it didn't work out. And in the game against Fulham too, it was drab in most parts. And you know, season opener, Old Trafford, like, hey, plenty noise. Oh, giddy, giddy. They will go and score. But there wasn't anything that you could place your hand on and say that, things have changed or whatever. I mean, I'm looking to see more. I don't think that anything else would come up, but I'm looking to see more. And hopefully something comes out from this because, Charlie, it's not looking too good for United.
Rangiora, from the outside looking in, first of all, what were your thoughts on the game?
I think it was a very good game by Liverpool. Again, as Fred has already said, Slot is quite an unknown quantity. I won't say I've watched him or his final sides or anything like that. So I genuinely don't know his style of football, what he could bring or anything. What I know is that he's implemented his style very quickly, very quietly, and Liverpool are just performing efficient. Even through our preseason, they were just winning. So everybody thought if preseason, if we come new league. No. He's played 3 games, won all 3 matches. He's scored 7 goals, conceded 0. That's a very impressive start for an unknown quantity manager. Whereas other managers have been to, everybody's been to, give him time. He's not teaching his thing. It's not like any of them had more time than Slot did to bed in their system or anything like that. So I think Liverpool played really well. I think from about the 76, 78 minutes going, it was really just pass the ball around, keep possession, there's no cause for panic. Just keep the ball well, be defensively aware, play well, and let's move forward. And it's how, for instance, he takes out Trent Alexander-Arnold, brings in that you had a Bradley Cooper or Bradley, whatever your name be, Bradley. They can come inside. He will go, if he will just come in and play as if he is the one who started the game. Salah, I think, has a new role this season, and he's doing very well at that role. You know, kind of like being the guy to hold on to the play, receive the pass back behind, and then lay it off, and then spin and run off. We know Salah has lost maybe 1 to 2 yards of speed, but still, you can tell that they are utilizing his speed in a manner that is still very efficient, even with what he can or what his current capacity is. For United, I don't think it was any different from what we all know, to be honest. I did praise United's defense for the first game. This was De Ligt's first game in the center. I thought it was a wrong choice to put De Ligt there. I think he should have started Harry Maguire. This is not a kind of game you put or you foist on a new signing who, I don't know if he does, but probably doesn't understand what Liverpool versus Manchester United means or how that game can go. As for Onana, make you continue to do instead of you to be a good keeper and try and improve upon your basics, you don't do so. Arrogance, you say that hard ground that Onana won't be worse. He got like 84 press conferences when he signed Shana Tati. I don't know why you would waste your time about that keeper. The problem is
luck. If they play shots, every time they die, they lock. Every day you they lock. Not,
Freddy, you know the funny thing too. United of a second keeper. You think by their shield be bomb. That guy, he be nuclear explosive. What? He's a horrible player, horrible keeper. So the guy been saying, you know what? Let me bring someone else to kind of give Onana a sort of, you know, competition or anything like that. So for me, the game went exactly as I thought it would go. Liverpool playing well. Liverpool, and if this is just gear one, gear two, gear three, Liverpool on the slot, it is actually quite scary what future iterations of this team could become, right? Everybody said, oh, they didn't sign. They signed all the Chiesa. If you looked at the team that played today and the people that came on, you know, like the changes he made, that team looks pretty solid to me, if you ask me. It doesn't look like he needs any serious amount of work. Freddie has got his agenda done. Now that we know the stats. So, I know.
You don't feel how my stress levels are reduced. The guy that comes at 25th minute, I know they won't make it come.
Like, make it come with 85th or 89th minute.
In the 90th minute, it's like, if I can't clean the boys in my shoes, the guy...
that's
actually one thing that I find really impressive about the guy. The fact that even with Darwin's tantrums and all his Instagram, you go and delete things. The guy, he put on for the bench top. Because Darwin is just not good enough. That's the truth. Like, the guy, he not enough goal score. About strikers where they run in behind, where if the chance comes, you still they miss the head. And then why would they keep you? So and one thing about Darwin, and this is something that I think a lot of people don't see. You know, strikers typically block passing lanes. So that's one major thing about a striker, like being able to block a passing lane. That's why most teams actually play with the false nine, because they are more adept to that. Darwin, he just they run. Like if the guy get the ball, he just sprints go that side. Then the pass to Casemiro is a very easy pass. Do you get what I'm saying? So me, that guy there, me, if it be me, Darwin, like I say the Arsenal they won't buy him. And then I won't make you go there. Then I won't make you go there, make Charlie the team source. But in the end, he's still around. But I'm just hoping Jota doesn't get injured, because if he does, then it means it's the terrible twin who is back. Because at first, Luis Diaz and Darwin as terrible twins. Those were their TT. But as he say, Luis Diaz, as Darwin left arm now, he make peaceful ID. So it be the Darwin way, it be the bad net in the suit.
Wait. So you talk saying the way your stress levels come down. Diaz too, his stress levels come down when he perform, because that exactly. When no day there way it go make it get high blood pressure.
You see, yeah, because it loses Diaz, if that when day there in high blood pressure be very high. So the proximity to stupidity day there. So But yeah, everything be cool, right? So we did inside.
Anyway, so moving on to Chelsea. Earlier over the weekend, they drew 1-1 with Crystal Palace. And this is following a very impressive win against Wolves last week. So, Bangeoda, do you think this result might be a warning sign that maybe last week's huge win was maybe a fluke? Because first of all, last week, then they accused me, say we should have win, we no record because Chelsea win heavy. And of late, we do on some anti-Chelsea agenda. That really are allegations they do on the streets. So,
all I know, we say those allegations have an iota of truth to it. Hey. That will be all we. But I don't think it was a fluke. We created a whole buttload of chances today. Our problem today was finishing. Nicolas Jackson alone had three chances. If you pick your mind, like you go free do this thing. You go free do, how did they call it? You go free do hat trick. Easy. Like last week, Madrid, this week, Jackson, then they move for it. It's a problem of finishing. We cut Palace open so many times. They improved in the second half, though, but we still played much better than them, and we should have won the game. Right? But in the end, if you don't take your chances and you give away one or two chances, any good team will score. Any good team will score. So, I personally, it's not as bad as most people are making it out to be, like, oh, we had a terrible... Like, if we played terribly and we drew 1-1, I'd understand. We played well. You say make we don't talk XG, but our XG was 2.56 or 2.1. We scored one. Palace might be 0.32. We don't have to score one. You understand? So, for me, I thought we would have gotten Osimhen, which would then have kind of helped us in this, you know, in this aspect of our play, where we create the chances, we play well, we put it through, and then our box striker will just find the back of the net and they'll move forward, and that's it. But in the end, it is what it is. We are where we are. We didn't get him. He's also not going to play for at least till January. So, yeah, it was just a finishing problem today. I think the team chemistry, especially the front four of Neto, Jackson, Madueke, and Cole Palmer, are beginning to build some type of very good chemistry, especially Palmer and Madueke on the right side of the pitch. They're beginning to build some very nice chemistry, carrying on from what they started building late last season. And I think if we keep playing like this, for most bottom 10, even from 8th to 10th teams, if we meet them, we can win. If we keep playing the way we are. Defensively, there are still some one or two issues that we have to address. But largely, I think we are improving defensively, especially if you see the way we were very open against City and also even very open in the first half against Wolves. As we are progressing through the season, we are getting better defensively. And so for me, I'm not too worried at the moment. I think the team is improving. Attacking-wise, we are playing well. And I think eventually it will just click. And when it clicks, it will just be muscle memory. And whoever they follow Jackson, they make him know, say, will take and go fire. So, make the left man a boy. Yeah.
So, speaking of team chemistry and what's not, people just signed Jadon Sancho on deadline day. First of all.
First of all, I don't know that guy. I don't recognize him as a Chelsea signing. I don't know where he's from. I don't know who he is. All I know is say he go 0014 as he come the league inside. And he probably will not see the pitch. So say people go start the record 00 anything given. Because I genuinely don't know why we've signed both Sancho and Felix. Like, nice, cute. Every team gets on one bid and they manage. We go and go take two. Why? Personally, I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan of Sancho at all. I hope he proves me wrong. That the way Kawawa they talk say make they have to prove I'm wrong. Me too. I hope say Sancho too will come prove me wrong. Say he's actually a good player. We just united them a toxic environment, you know, the favor. But I'm not a fan of that signing at all. Like, if we take that Sancho, money will take place Sancho. Maybe we add some to it, then take me for silver. Maybe like that will change the agency mind. And make he can't sign give. But I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan. So maybe not basically anything. How do I think it's, I don't know. I don't want him there. I want to, I hope we finish 15th. So he will not stay. Make you just go. What?
You see, Chelsea, yeah, they just decide.
It'd be no obligation to buy. So that one even makes it
the,
more.
The obligation be say. The obligation be say, we for finish top 14. Let me finish 15. Until go back to your house. So your maybe I have to align myself with Danny's I don't know, call it prediction.
Prediction.
Don't say agenda delayed will not be agenda denied. Just say I would do short term pain for long term gains because I genuinely have no idea. I genuinely have no idea how he's going to improve us, how he's going to make us function better. Like on the left hand side, we are sterile if it's not Neto playing. Right? And Neto is far better on the right. But right now, with the form of Madueke, you can't drop him. So we have shifted Neto to the left. So if we need a left winger, either so you go manage Misha or you go make Sterling play. For some weird reason, they just decided, you know what? Sterling costs too much money because we're lying. I don't think the Sterling thing is footballing reasons. This whole thing, Maresca, he talk, he's not a type of winger. He be lying. He be lying. Who's more direct than Sterling? Who likes to hug their wings more than Sterling? Exactly. So for me, I think they thought his wages were high. They thought he was old, you know, because then they have this obsession with younger players. So 29 years old, almost 350k a week. Too much money. Bro, let's find a way to ship him. And then, yeah, they found some way. And somehow, we shipped him. But Arsenal still got the better deal. Somehow. And now, yeah, we are where we are. So, personally, I'm not a fan of the signing at all. It's likely, of course, I don't think we'll finish bottom outside of top 14, to be fair. I think even outside of top 8 will be a pretty bad season for me. So, yeah, I think he's our player now. Will I support him? Maybe, some way, somehow, if it proves me wrong. But I'm not a fan of the signing at all. Like, if I know, we're like, we know signing. If I know, we're like, we know.
So, Kawa, Man City, yet again, they are proven to be a problem. In a season where people thought, okay, they've lost Julian Alvarez, Kevin De Bruyne, make old small. They have so many issues. So people thought that, okay, this is in there. Maybe there's an opening for an Arsenal or somebody to sneak in. But they've started the season in even more impressive fashion than last season. Haaland, too, seems to have found his form from the first season. 2 hat-tricks in 3 games.
Mm-hmm.
Can anybody stop them?
nobody can stop Man City. And I mean, before I get on Man City, I just want to touch a bit on Van Gelder's points. I think that the most impressive player for me at Chelsea this season has been Madueke. And when I watched today, I saw glimpses of like someone who really wanted a result. Like he wants something for himself. And when players run on the pitch wanting to do everything, it tells you that, you know, their level of confidence is up and all of that. And I think that kudos to him for getting his level back up there again. But for Man City, bro, I just for go change my prediction because I don't think that Arsenal would
stick to that prediction. Tell you where he said. You tell that somebody will do FPL away. He said that drop. He said the tactical say if you drop Haaland then
sign. Then tell you. Make I tell you something. The thing be say, you see that thing we like for football inside, like almost everything goes your way. I think that's where City is at this point. Because see, yesterday when it was at 2-1. Bro, West Ham, they play all the ball for the world inside. Kudus get chance, he hits the upright. That ball, on any day, Kudus scores that ball. If he score 2-2, then pressure come. Hey, home support, they can either end with 2-2 or it will be some 3-2. Kudus missed the chance, no way Haaland gets free pull. A cheap goalkeeper, I scored 3-1. Game is put to bed. And like, it just be, everything just they work for them. Look, right now, look at this small boy. This foolish boy, Rico Lewis, where they put for the ball inside. This Rico Lewis, how Rico Lewis, they play ball where he get confidence, they take ball, they run at defenders and things. How? Like, everything just they work for City. So, Charlie, them be Charlie, look, they'll win it again. The only thing we say, I don't think that we or like everybody as a like in football or in the Premier League now should allow City to run over them as much as they did last season. I think that even if they win it this season, the points tally should be lesser than it was before, because tally, it'd be too much. And honestly, I think right now, I think Liverpool would also be one of the teams that would get into the title race, because Charlie, today the body play, bro, if them feel maintain this level without any significant amount of injuries, they really go worry. And today after the game, then slowly they talk about them fixture schedule and how after the international break they have 7 games in 21 matches, so he needs to plan properly to make sure that if they are able to make sure that everybody is fresh, proper rotation plan and everything, I think that they'll do something. The only thing we go beat them be say City have a lot more to depend on when it comes to substitutes. So, for instance, if yesterday Rodri no played the ball some safe, but so imagine if Rodri comes, then maybe Kovacic go fix it. Right now they have Gundogan. This Mateus Nunes, if you know they get some play, like they have so many options. So City there, they'll be good. On. But I think Liverpool and Arsenal just for come through and challenge them for do something. What's up?
Sorry, but You remember there was a time where if City don't play Rodri, they either go lose or then go draw.
Charlie, your man figure him out.
Did it mean say your man go as he go there somewhere where people, everybody the bed, everybody the go one, two. He goes set class in
I didn't tell you.
I already accepted say we did compete against spirits. So
no, I think the biggest mistake that the football world made was to follow Pep when he was winning a lot and everybody felt like, oh, this is the ideal way to win. I feel like that's where the mistakes come from. Bro, because tell me why this season. We start season, Ten Hag, you buy a striker. We start season. You say, nah, Bruno Fernandes for play force nine. because this is something that City has done in the past and you've seen them do it. So, bro, what City they do, you know, they make sense. Who? See, Pep lie, everybody say strikers no be important. Where right now, you go buy the most striker of all strikers for the world inside. Like, this guy don't know anything to do apart from scoring goals. Where? Your man say, what? When he started, he was playing very narrow. Oh, Busquets, Xavi, Iniesta. The wing play no really day like that. Right now, you go buy Jeremy Doku, buy Savinho. See, bro, like, right now, see, the guy, he go tell you, say, follow him. You go follow him, and then he dribble you again. And I feel like that's what they do.
Even the left backs, and the right back. Every time, bro, they fly forward, Jordi Alba, bro, Dani Alves. Right now, he buy 4 center backs. He just lock the back.
Yes. So imagine that this guy, either Shada, he do that thing. So, because see, me, under no circumstance did I ever think that Pep would buy somebody like Jeremy Doku or buy somebody like Grealish. Grealish just did a touch line. They pass and ball, then he drifts in, then he cross. That be all they do. See, this be Pep in football. Bro, make you post stop to follow this man. Oh. This man, he be wicked man. He be wicked man where he just come to destroy everything. He destroy everything for the football world. Like,
destroy everything.
On top of that, the lack you they talk, no? He get the lack too. So, you see, bro, like sometimes the ball will fit the line. Then somebody can clear him from the back. Charlie, bro, team there.
Freddie, see. Last 2 seasons, as the Champions League win, he played John Stones for midfield, where the team they work. You know, see, right now, Arteta go by Calafiori, they try to play Calafiori for midfield. He go by, right? Oh, no, it be true.
You go,
it be true.
That's Get them was actually a manager.
It be true. The first game, they played Timber in front of the defense. It not be John Stones in formula from that. It not be the same thing. But Charlie, me, I just talk say, make nobody follow this guy. Make everybody just try doing your own thing. That's why me, I didn't believe Big Sam no. Big Sam say, Massa, play the ball long, make somebody head score. That be into your own. Make nobody follow anybody, go do what you know, go fit do. Right now, see, the guy by Haaland, he go fit score 100 goals this season, bro. That guy, Charlie, you be okay.
Smiley,
be okay.
Sorry.
Be okay.
I just want to make some small correction. These two people say the guy, he get like, he no be like.
No, I'm not going to say he get like. But you don't see what I tell you. Yesterday, you watched a West Ham game.
I watched only half the game.
If you watch like the second half, the first 15 minutes of the second half, you know, go talk this thing. Bro, West Ham should have scored. Are they telling
you? I think come to that point,
uh-huh.
It will be luck. That man they call Saints, my life. If he says, if he's no, if he says, think about it for a moment. Let me just look at all the things that happened in the past year, 4 or 5 seasons. Why say in the season, you know, they start well after the turn of the season, like after the turn of the year, into the second half of the season. In your opponent, even when they are doing well, for some weird reason, they will go draw or lose some game where one bomb game, like Arsenal lost to Southampton. Tell somebody to fit that bench. Nobody did tap in body, but they discuss tactics. Did they walk on training pitch? Then he did do a hand like this. Then he did. If he saved that guy, they call me. That be one of the first investigations I could do.
No, but Charlie, we
that
for Beckham.
That guy they call Saints.
We for Beckham. We for Beckham make it go.
Look at the tactics he they deploy. It they look like tactics where normal person, if they sit there, they free just envision, concoct, then try, implement, and it go implement perfectly. If anybody else try, up, you know the way. If you do it, the way. No, look at the abundance of evidence. What are they called Saints?
But you get the players too. Charlie, you get the players too. And you see, another thing about Pep, he hardly ever did buy bomb. I mean, once in a while, he go buy some one bomb. But he hardly ever, seriously, because see, every time you go, look, see how many players they hack by and how many are actually good. Then compare them to how many players Pep buy. This Savinho boy, they just bring him now. They put him for Stamford Bridge. See what they do the defenders. See what this boy they do.
Not move to that game.
Malo Gusto.
See, you know, since that game, Malo has not been the same.
See, last season.
Malo went 1v1. He be cool. May I be cool, self say he be Malo. Like, if he be Reese, we die.
See.
So, if he be cool, self say he be Malo, he go to that season.
Last season, Liverpool bring Gravenberch. You see, say he struggles more. It be this season where he started sit up. How many players will Pep go one full season? They don't go try. Then the next season, bro. If they come, they hit the ground running. It be this Matheus Nunes guy where he shine. That boy away from Wolves. No.
Calvin Phillips. They say Pep say he watch him 6 minutes for training. Say, and this guy online, you cannot play football.
Charlie,
you will not succeed.
See some
things way. This guy will not succeed.
Jeremy Doku they do and things for Pacto. Bro, how small boy were you from French League camp? You they do these things to defenders for Premier League. Bro, Charlie, the guy, he be ahead of everybody. We just for accept him. Then make we go beg him. Make we go beg him, say, right now, Mourinho they take it. So make he take him in fire go take it to go challenge him for there. So say, I dey tell you people, if this guy did a league inside, bro, nobody go win this league. He go win him 7 in a row. We forbeg this guy. Because Charlie, he be bad. Right now, where he can, me, I be Pep in biggest hater. I the hater. But right now, they are, bro, I know they fit. See, the guy, he be good.
Power.
If you hate him, say, do the work. That be the thing. The agenda we are get for Pep, right now, the agenda page is all finished. That's why Amu go That's why I move go Haaland. No, that's why I move go Haaland.
You move go. That way, the way you move go Haaland. Yeah. You move go Becky.
Oh no, because
where Haaland go pick mine give you.
Oh, where remind Haaland? He never go play for World Cup, so that's my own. That be my own. Haaland never go play World Cup, so be to my own that. Me to that my own. If you be best striker, come to the World Cup. If you be best striker, go to Euros. You did that way. Albania they play Euros. You know they pick up Euro. You say you be best striker. You be best striker.
See,
for the way.
Make it no vex me. Can't you wait that my top number four best striker of all time be John Carew? Yeah. I don't want to hear that.
But first of all, you want it right now? They get good team. Right now, Odegaard Day. They get Haaland.
Sander Berg.
They get Sander Berg. They get that guy for Atletico Madrid. No, Alexander.
Oscar Bob. It is.
Oscar Bob, bro. Hey, the team good. They for camp.
Next
World Cup,
Oscar
I want
Pop
to see Norwegian. Yes.
Maybe Norwegian.
You see, this is the change that we are looking at. Oscar Pop. How Oscar Pop in Norwegian? Wow.
See, I say, so, bro, make we just come together. I think the Premier League should come together. Make we go back Pepsi, Italy. It'd be okay. Where your point is proven. You they do one pass anybody. So it'd be okay.
All
make
right
now. Because see, you, Freddy,
contract when Kofi sign you one more.
See,
Freddy,
me the sad thing, the sad thing.
Wait.
Yeah.
Wait. You say make we go beggar. Make I just base you this question.
Mm-hmm.
You see, Fred teacher when he pick mine say he go lash when you beggar when he stop before. Thank you,
master. The guy, me. The sad thing about this thing for me be say, even if everybody go beggar when he left. My team still no go fee challenge for title. That be the team where they pay me. But Charlie, we for still beg them nonetheless because Charlie, where they go there, bro, Smiley, City there, then they challenge for title. Right now, see, you know, since yesterday, Arsenal draw one match, 3 games into the season, they draw one match, then they fear.
They meltdown, no, complete meltdown.
They were, see, coming losing head. Head loss, that now the head loss was fantastic, man. The head loss was so great. But no, as for that me, he be friend teacher way because him. So me, you know the way, man. If you go back himself, if he himself, he go unleash new level of wittiness, make it suck win for this league.
But Smiley, that declaration in foul, no? Was that a red card incident?
Tell you, honestly, I didn't see it live. I was doing something else. So I came back and then somebody was explaining to me what happened. The explanation be very huge exaggeration for what I see. Because the person say he kicked the ball away. I mean,
yeah, exactly.
It's one of those things. The rules say that, like, when you kick the ball away, is it? But sometimes you have to apply common sense. Like, if you decide to give bookings for all of those incidents, it'd be one of those things that every match you go give red card. It make, like, those holding fouls for the corner kick sentence. Sometimes, yeah, the player they hold, but some, if you apply some common sense to them, it will be on a case-by-case basis.
My problem about it be say, look, fine. I mean, the player rise foul the player, then take free kick. Where the player won't play the ball, where rise they stand in front, and then it be that same way players they do. Like, oh, they walk away, he just tap the ball small, they make the ball go. You understand? The Brighton people do some in the first half. The guy then whistle where he play the ball. They don't give him yellow card. Not you see, and that's where if the inconsistency they come in the ball. You know, but me, I didn't think that he deserved a red card for that. But Charlie, that'd be how it did. Next two weeks, then it's still space. So Charlie, I'm ready for that.
The agenda day, that'd be why. That'd be the only reason why they are celebrating. But
see, this is why Corey no there, because if they're like, what's gonna take do with
Corey?
They say you open, you not be objective. This team, it will be red card.
The team will be red card, but it be agenda.
But he forget the red card and go out. But
he for learning lesson. Like next time, he not kick the ball, but it will be red card. I don't know whether this is true, but I heard, and obviously there should be consistency. But I heard there was something that they had told them at the beginning of the season. That it's like, you know how they always come up with some new laws at the beginning of the season. I don't know whether that's true. I saw it somewhere on Twitter, but. Apparently, that's a new law, and that's why they are enforcing it. But you know, this Premier League referees, they don't get any discernment. Like in this particular scenario, he absolutely, like, if he wastes time, like 1 second. So it was definitely an unfair red card. But as the agenda set there, we will know the basil. Because I realized from last season, if the agenda set for your team top, boys know the base, then they laugh you. So
yeah, that one, if, that one
is
true.
Context.
That one be true.
They're not the set context, so they're not the set context. If it's set for the top,
have the capacity. We context that. Share. We laugh you and you say context.
You know, and what be sweet about MBC, the refereeing decisions, like the referees are generally bad. So every team gets their fair share of bad refereeing decisions. But Arsenal fans alone, they act like it be they paid and targets them. Like they are the only ones on the receiving end of these decisions. But if you go around, every team has these moments. Like across the season, every team, they get these things against them.
But yeah. Make I tell you, you know what? Arsenal fans have this complex that they are the saviors of the league. So everybody should kind of defer to them and kind of be kind to them and wish them well. That be where the problem is. That be the baseline. See, today, Crystal Palace forgets a red card for the game inside. They don't get a red card. They don't get a red card, no way. Then Jada guy, the guy can't replace him, no. He can't, no, like, three passes later, no, they equalize. You know, it's not... The only thing consistent about the refereeing in the Premier League is that they are consistently bad. That's the only consistency that is happening in the league. Nobody is getting targeted. Today, your own be red card. Moroma, own go be penalty. Next week, Man United, my own go be foul where they don't take. Like, it be consistent. But Arsenal fans, they don't act like it be them pay way, then they hate them, way the league for, like, either say we for cower to them, make sure say they are fine. Every time, like, if things don't go well, we for prop them up, make them go. Baza, you will be there, you will say you want Big City win the league. Beat them against all us, maybe we give you fast. If not, no can do, like, if you pay in the
city. The main thing is, if you want win the league where you catch City, go score them. Don't go and play for draw. That'd be all. Me, this whole thing, you go play for draw last season, they pull win, you say referee. Charlie.
That one there, you know that. It'll be true. The thing there, the refereeing decision, if you fire you there, that'd be the thing. That be the, you know, say sometimes we say for Old Trafford, they, some decision they feel go one away, I say, hey!
You know, we had a phone call.
You started nationalizing. No. Oh, somebody blamed the referee.
Bro,
the referee
see. It'd be like that. And you know the funny thing, it'd be like every time United go struggle, maybe like some three games without a win or something. You know, say the next game, some decision just go United the way. Like, if you don't see
some game where Onana go punch somebody in head.
Bro, see, Onana blast the
best
guy in head.
Best day of the season.
The referee say you don't see.
Best day of the season.
That Onana guy, the blessing to me, yo.
He be fucking guy wrong, that guy.
Where the fuck carry this guy for? Hey, sorry to bring back this Onana issue. But you both say he be passing goalkeeper or he's good on the ball. The passing to he, they always kick the ball outside. So me, I don't even know what his strength is. Because they say he be good ball playing keeper, but the passing to him, we know they see inside.
You know, I was talking about this earlier today in one of my Man United WhatsApp group. The passing, you know, his passing is only good with the like short passing, ground passing. But when it comes to long passing, he gets some kind of sexy passes he attempts. It never they follow, but it'll be like he just like do them because it look good. So they can pair low passes they do. It always they go and throw.
Either that clip one or the carpet. But he never did the carpet top. Every day to do some height, the player not even control.
Bro, today he nearly passed one Gisela. He nearly passed one Gisela face, bro. Nah, the guy is not too much. Hey,
I'm telling you. Anyway, moving away from the Premier League, earlier this week they did the draws for the various European competitions. And as everybody knows now, they've changed the format of European competitions generally. So they've moved to the Swiss format. A lot of people are still confused about how that format works. But basically,
sorry. At the left, so make I just do this in foul. I don't know the team that they call them Noah. I don't know them. I don't know the country that they come from. I don't know why they pair them plus Chelsea. I don't know anything about it. Thank you, man.
Yeah, Van Gelder has to leave us. So anyway, they've moved on to the Swiss format, and a lot of people have been like asking questions about how it works because people are not really sure about it. because now it's 36 teams, at least in the Champions League. It's now a long league, but it's not everybody who plays against each other. So it's basically you play against 8 teams out of the league. And then the top 8 teams in the league move on to the round of 16 automatically. Then the following 16 teams, they play in a playoff. And then in that playoff, they decide the other 8 teams to join them. So now the Champions League group phase, which is now the league phase, it's now 8 matches that you play. And then if you don't qualify automatically, you play an additional 2 playoff games to join those 8 teams. So previously, to win the Champions League, you play a total of 13 matches. Now, to win the Champions League, you play a total of 15. And that's assuming you qualify automatically to the next round. If you finish outside the top 8, you might end up playing a total of 17 matches. So, make us start with Fred. Since your team is the only champion team qualified for the Champions League over here, how do you feel about this new format? Do you think it's just an improvement?
The question, is it seeded in the round of 16? So, you know, the first 8 go through to the round of 16. And then there's the rest of the 9th to 24 play like a playoff. Is it seeded in that playoff or
I'm guessing the same way in the previous formats, like first place all go do one side and then they will draw them against the second place teams. So the top 8 will be on one side and then they'll be seeded against the following 8 who come and join them.
I'm actually talking about the playoff round. Is it seeded?
The playoff round. For that, I'm not too sure if it's seeded or it would just be a random draw against the other teams within that
set. So initially, I didn't understand the format. And then I read on it maybe somewhere earlier this week that the first 8 go through. And I actually like it. I prefer this method because the former format of the Champions League, the 3rd and the 4th game typically determine who qualified out of the group. And most of the time, when you meet an easy team in your third fixture, because you play them in the immediate reverse, and that thing made the Champions League not competitive. So sometimes you see that, like a team like Man City, they'll win their first 4, and then their 5th and their 6th game, because they've qualified, they play some random teams or some people, random players in there. So I actually like this format because I feel like getting to the end is still going to be competitive. It's almost like how the NBA added the play-in to their playoff scheme. And I feel like that, especially that round, the 16-team playoff round will be very, very exciting. So I like it. The fact that, like, Liverpool is going to play similar, we are playing Real Madrid, we are playing Leipzig, we are playing a lot of different teams instead of the same old, like, we always get Porto, we get some Benfica. You are more likely to meet a bigger variety of teams in this format. So I was hesitant because it's UEFA and it's more games. But then when I read about the format, I actually think it's going to be exciting. They just need to bring away goals doesn't count in this in the group stage, but away goals for comeback in the playoff round or the knockout round. That was something that also made the Champions League exciting. But actually, I'm not against this format at all.
Cool.
Me too. I think this format gives us very good games. I mean, this is like just when the Champions League opens, you have a Liverpool Real Madrid game. I mean, this is what we want. And I think Liverpool are starting with AC Milan. Yeah,
I think AC Milan away.
Yeah, on the 17th of September. Then they play Bologna and then Leipzig. Then Leverkusen, Real Madrid on the 27th of November. So, Charlie, it gives you like a lot of really good games. As you say, Arsenal also have to play PSG and things. And, you know, those fixtures be like really nice fixtures. And I think that it just takes us back to like the previous formats. Because I remember in 99 when United, like on the road to winning the title, United had to play Bayern and Barcelona in the group stages before moving on to play Inter and Juventus. And then, so it's like a lot of like really good games in the opening stages of the Champions League. And I think that, you know, if this means that if the coaches don't manage it properly, if the players also do not, you know, take their chances and all of that, also given how many big games there would be within that short period of time, I think that it will be really nice to see how it goes. So yeah, I like this format and let's just see. I mean, it's just the first time they're starting, so we could see how it go.
Yeah, me, I also like is the variety, especially the variety, because previously in the Champions League, to win it, the maximum number of like different teams you face was, I think, 7. Now you can you're facing 8 different teams in the group phase alone. So at least we are going to see more matchups that we've never seen before. I think it's the only problem I have is the additional matches, because the players start complaining that they play too many games. Right now, that's an extra 2 games minimum. Maximum might be an extra 4 games. So I'm just worried about the impact on the players, how they are going to cope with all of this. Because
And that thing is an England problem. The Carabao Cup, they have to take it out. I mean, I know they say it's a legendary cup. That cup, I know the bad boy will play the Carabao Cup. If we go, right now we win enough. So we are answering.
One of the suggestions someone brought was that make them exempt all the teams that have already qualified for Europe from the Carabao. Because if you're playing in Europe, you already have additional matches. So the teams where they know they play in Europe, make them fight for Carabao. Then now want to, it also gives other teams an additional chance to win. Right now, you see how the big teams, they monopolize the Carabao. Because they make like, because Pep already they guarantee the Premier League, right now everybody they fight for other things just to show their wins of things. So these days we don't have a huge variety of Carabao Cup winners. Like back then, Middlesbrough wins some, then like Birmingham wins some just over 10 years ago. And things. Right now, I think the days of those things have passed, because right now they like everybody make more irate for trophies. So maybe it might give other teams a chance to also win something, celebrate for their fans.
But guys, quick one. So with the new Champions League format, don't you think that in a way, like what Smiley is saying, it cuts out some of the smaller teams? So there's a possibility that we might not see a Monaco in a semi, or a Monaco in a final, or a Schalke in a semi. Like, because of the format and how strenuous it looks like it will be, it looks like the big teams would always just get into the top places.
But it's a Champions League, exactly. So if you won't catch there, you for win your games, you know, nothing stops Leverkusen from qualifying. Like a team like Leverkusen, they're not a big team. And I think this was their first league title in a long time,
their first.
So a team like Leverkusen, it's not out of the blue that Leverkusen could be in the quarterfinals or the semifinals, because they're a good team. So you for work out for them. So I'm actually not against it at all.
Right. I mean, I see what Kawhi means with this one, because it's like previously maybe in the group phase you might get a favorable group. See how Man United, we finished bottom in a group that had Copenhagen, Galatasaray. You might get a favorable group and make it to the knockout phase. But now, to get to the knockout phase, like, by all means, you go face one top team. Not just one, like a few top teams. Like, you have to win more big matches to get to the knockout phase. So, maybe.
But if you think about that, maybe if you're 24th, right, in that round of the playoff round, and you're 24, then you go and get some team that's 15th, right? That's why I was asking whether I seeded. It's possible that you could actually get
another team favorable
in the second round. So,
assuming you face some Man United finish 20th, where you get them, United at any point, anybody go beat them. So, it still depends. Oh, Charlie, it depends. Like today, I'm not gonna lie, the thing they pay me crap of the United. I don't even want to go back, but the thing they pay me. I saw one tweet. Somebody say, it's a good result, but there are better challenges to come. And that thing pay me, because right now United don't even be part of the better challenges. Yeah. So like
Charlie.
Yeah, the funny thing is, Kawawa know this from KNUST those days. The against, like, my whole weekend be against Man United. Like, every time I go watch Premier League, it be Man U. Like, I won't make Man U lose. Right now, I know they search for Man U results. Do you get what I'm saying? It's almost like Man City and Arsenal are the only teams I'm looking at. Man United, in a way, have actually become a little bit irrelevant. Like, I can see you guys doing well, depending on how things go, especially with Garnacho. If you are able to drop Rashford, right, and you go with Garnacho and Ahmad, I can see, I like the Zexy guy. I mean, I like those type of players. So I can see you guys doing a little bit well, but like in terms of winning the league, I just don't.
No,
I
winning the league, yeah, with Charlie, this manager. It's impossible. It's impossible, Charlie.
So anyway, it's now time for the Who Am I segment.
Charlie, now, this segment, Charlie.
Charlie, this is your game, dear. And it's your more times I did that I did Google. I say, hey, I knew.
It's one of those things that you know the person, but at that moment it just go vanish from your head.
It just go come your head inside. Challenge.
But yeah, so for those who haven't listened or watched this segment before, it's a football trivia segment where we just give clues about a particular player and you're supposed to guess who the player is. So since Fred is new to this one, we haven't played with him before, I'm going to start with you.
Charlie, we matter this. You will go.
Okay. So you, in fact, make us start with somebody from your rivals. Somebody who played for your rivals. So, an ex-Everton midfielder who also played for Millwall and New York Red Bulls. I scored over 40 goals for my national team. I'm not going to give you the national team. Because if I give you the national team, it will make them easier for you. So yes, an ex-Everton midfielder who also played for Millwall and New York Red Bulls. And I scored over 40 goals for my national team. I played for Everton between 2004 and 2012. Who am I?
New York Red Bulls. What player that? New York Red Bulls, that's the team Henry played for.
Yeah, the nationality is unique. So if I give you the nationality, you will know exactly who. So
and then right Phillips in Kidi Bro or whatever else.
But he was a striker.
But he was midfielder. A striker. He didn't play for Everton. Yeah, Bradley didn't play for Everton.
Midfielder, 40 goals for midfielder would be huge for your country. Yeah. 40 goals.
Yeah, everyone, if I mention the name, you go know because he was a prolific midfielder.
Wow, Everton.
Tim Cahill.
Correct.
Charlie, you go.
I get my own, Charlie.
Charlie, you so, you so.
Okay, so for Kawa.
Cahill, just a question. Cahill, wasn't he a striker?
A midfielder. He was playing behind the striker. Okay. So for Kawawa, I'm a striker who played for Stoke City between 2010 and 2014. I also played for Southampton and Sunderland. I scored over 20 goals for my national team. That is in the Caribbean. Who am I?
It's not Kenyon Jones.
Correct. This one,
the Caribbean make them easy.
Easy. Stoke City, that team is saying Stoke City get plenty strikers. Back then, Stoke City had plenty strikers.
So, then it'd be between Kenny Jones and Ricardo Fuller for me. So I didn't think about it.
The two of them all be Caribbean strikers.
Yeah.
So. Okay. So, this one be bonus. This one, it'll go out to the listeners. I'm an English striker/midfielder who played for Aston Villa, Watford and Sheffield Wednesday. I played less than 10 matches for my national team, which is England. I played for Aston Villa between 2005 and 2018. Who am I? So for the listeners, if you get this one, just comment in the YouTube comments, in the Twitter comments, Instagram, anywhere, just put it in the comments. So before we finish, let's just go through the FPL quickly. So yeah, our FPL is back. So far, actually, me like this, I think it's in my ITS, so I don't select Haaland. Right now, everybody just gap me for the FPL cycle. That'd be the biggest mistake I make for my life is that I say I don't go select Haaland. But yeah, so far, as things stand, I'm going to go through the top five quickly. So in first place, we have Riverdale FC. Coached by Nana Benyin Graves Brew Appiah. Number two, we have The Queen's Finest by George Ofori. Number three, we have Play Is Floor by Godfred Akufu. He has been on this podcast before, so shout out to Smoke. Number four, we have Grey Jedi by Nana Forsen. Okay, we have a two-way tie for fourth place. So, in the other fourth place team is Slaughterhouse by Kenneth Essel. So, yeah, we'll put the link for the FPL in the episode notes so that for those who haven't joined, they can join. And then, yeah, if you haven't set up your FPL league to, like, your FPL team, it's not too late. Even though you go chop last, you still go few overtake some people. So, yeah. you go figure some lucky week and overtake a few people. So, yeah, the FPL is up and running. So, if you're interested, you can still join. So, yeah, we've come to the end of this episode. If you haven't done this already, please follow our social media pages on Twitter and Instagram. It's ATWPodcastGCR. On TikTok, it's After the Whistle. You can subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Deezer, wherever you find podcasts, we get it. And then, yeah, our YouTube, we are still trying to grow the YouTube since it's still fairly new. So try and subscribe to the YouTube, share when you have the chance, comment, like, all those things. But, and then, Charlie, guys, Fred, always a special episode to have you. You'll be part of the crew, but we hardly get you. So, in fact, Fred has been on episodes this year more than yourself. So.
Oh, no. Right now, I'm back.
Charlie, thanks for joining us. Fred, yeah, agenda. So, you sit your car inside, come join. You see, I never will forget to.
Sweet. Where you see, if your team win like this, you go watch highlights, you go watch all the analysis. And they watch everything. Wait, it's an international break.
Yeah, international break. So you get to digest everything.
See, right now, international break, Black Stars 2, they can't stress me. See, Kale.
Who are we playing?
Angola and Niger.
I wish we had time to discuss this one, but yeah, during our next episode, So yeah, Charlie, thanks again for joining us for this one. And as always, ATW dominates the conversation.
This has been a Gold Coast Reports production. Catch up on episodes and discover more shows from our network on listen2gcr.com.